Please stand as you are able for a reading of the Holy Gospel according to Matthew, the 25th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus said to the disciples, "For it is as if a man going on a journey summoned his slaves and entrusted his property to them. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, another 2. To another one, to each according to his ability. Then he went away. The one who had received the 5 talents went off at once and traded with them and made 5 more talents. In the same way, the one who had 2 talents made 2 more talents. But the one who had received the 1 talent went off and dug a hole in the ground and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those slaves came and settled accounts with them. Then the one who had received the 5 talents came forward, bringing 5 more talents, saying, 'Master, you handed over to me 5 talents. See, I have made 5 more talents. His master said to him, "Well done, good and trustworthy slave. You have been trustworthy in a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master." And the one with the 2 talents also came forward, saying, "Master, you handed over to me 2 talents. See, I have made 2 more talents. His master said to him, "Well done, good and trustworthy slave. You have been trustworthy in a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master." Then the one who had received the talent also came forward, saying, "Master, I knew that you were a harsh man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you did not scatter seed. So I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here you have what is yours." But his master replied, "You wicked and lazy slave, you knew, did you, that I reap where I did not sow and gather where I did not scatter? Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers, and on my return I would have received what was my own with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to one with the 10 talents. For to all those who have, more will be given, and they will have an abundance. But from those who have nothing, even what they have will be taken away. As for this worthless slave, throw him into the outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." This is the gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. So I'll invite the children to come forward. So welcome to worship today. I think there's some visitors with us, and I'm really glad because I'm a visitor today. And so I'm really glad if you're a visitor that you came to God's house. Really glad. In fact, you're an answer to prayer. Yes. So this is what we call Stewardship Sunday. And I want to just talk to you about something about stewardship, because when I was your age, I always wanted to know what happened when I put money in the plate. Now, when I was little, a big offering was a quarter. And so my mother would give us 2 quarters on Sunday mornings, and we would put 1 quarter in the offering plate, and then we had another quarter which we would use to buy a snack on the way home from church. And one Sunday, I'm told, I actually don't remember this, my mother told me this story, I was on my way to church with the 2 quarters in my hand, I tripped and fell, and one of those quarters rolled down into the sewer. And you know what my mother said? I said, "Well, God, there goes your quarter." So I want to show you What happens when you put money in the collection plate? So I'm going to need an usher. Could I have an usher, please? I need an usher and I need a dollar. Who's got a dollar for me? I know you never come to church with money, right? Just a dollar? Are you watching? You paying attention here? Thank you. Oh, five? That's way too much. That's an abundance. I just need, here's a dollar. Good. All right. Thank you. All right. See how easy that was? Not. Right? So here's a dollar. Am I keeping it? No, it goes in the collection plate. But that's a dollar, right? I'm going to make, in front of your eyes, I'm going to make this dollar that's going to go back in the offering plate travel all over the world. You think I can do that?
Yeah.
How can I do that?
Magic.
Magic. No, there's no magic in church.
Yeah.
No, it's not magic. I'm not going to make it disappear, but I'm going to make it go all over the world. How do you think I'll do that? Yes. That's what will happen. So if we put a dollar in the offering plate, what happens with a dollar when we put it in the offering? It goes all over the place. So it helps to support this congregation, this group of people that gathers here, and lots of different ministries that happen right here in the city of Hartford, all right, for people who are hungry, both hungry for companionship and for food and for the Word of God, right? And then some of it, I never know how much, but some of it travels all the way to Worcester. Can you find Worcester here on the map? Where's Worcester?
He can read.
Oh, well, he knows where Worcester is, though, right? He jumped right away. So we'll find the United States, which, there it is. And Worcester is like up here. It's in the Holy Land. Yeah, no, it's not in the Holy Land. But it's not that far, all right? And when you send money through your collection, through that dollar, to Worcester, then it goes all over the world. Like one place where it goes is right where Pastor Paula is today, even as we speak, in the Middle East. And that's France. Saudi Arabia, over here. This is an old globe, so maybe they've renamed some of these countries.
Yeah, probably.
Even. It's back when there was a USSR. That's the United, what is the USSR? The Soviet Union. Union of Soviet Socialist Republics, all right? No longer exists. We now call it Russia and a bunch of other places. And then we watch our ballots disappear. Where's the church growing the most? Do you know?
Yeah.
In Africa. Where's Africa?
Yeah, I know. I was trying to look.
You're looking for Africa. Africa is still on the globe.
Oh, then maybe it's right here.
Africa is over here, and there are more Christians in Africa than ever before.
No, it's not.
Yeah. So. The bottom line for you guys is you can feel really good when you put money in the plate that it's doing God's work all over the universe, all over the globe. All right? Are you good? Are we good with that? You okay? Good. Want to pray with me? All right, so we fold our hands and we pray. Loving God, we thank you for your church. We thank you for helping us to be good stewards of all that you have entrusted to us. We thank you for our New England Synod that is also a good steward of what you send, what we send in your name. Amen.
Amen.
All right, thanks so much. Thanks.
Can I have a dollar?
No, this is Jesus' dollar. Listen to your children praying. Lord, send your spirit in this place. Lord, listen to your children praying. Send us love, send us power, send us grace. Well, hello again. It's so good to be here. Week 2 of stewardship season. And what great lessons we have this morning. Like we have Zephaniah going, oh, gloom and doom. The world is coming to an end. The God's judgment will rain down on us, and it's terrible. And then we have Paul going, oh, it's okay. Mark the seasons and the times. Things are bad, but the end is near, and then Jesus will come. Doesn't that just make you feel great in this season? You know, like gloom and doom and God's wrath and God's judgment. And poor Zephaniah gets to speak for God in these first two lessons. And then in the third lesson, thousands of years later, Jesus is actually there in the midst of his people, his disciples, and he tells them a parable. Remember this from last week? What's a parable? Ah, come on. Weren't you guys paying attention last week? I'm certain I shared with you that the best definition of a parable is one I learned from a 12-year-old in Sunday school who told me a parable is a story that Jesus told that helped people answer their own questions. You bet. Yes, absolutely. That makes Jesus woke. Yes. I learned this week what woke means. New word. Cool word. All right. So Jesus was sharing with his disciples this story, which we might say was about money. But we can't have the Bible teaching us something in our time that it didn't mean in its time. And so there was this peculiar idea about money that has come full circle. That when someone has a talent, now you can, this is the second definition in Webster's dictionary, it's not the first. When someone has a talent, they have a ton of money. Literally, a ton of money, like a lot of gold or silver. It was like winning the lottery. Anybody here ever win the lottery? It didn't work in the first service either. I guess Lutherans always win the lottery because they never buy a ticket. But in an earlier manifestation of Paul Sinnott, I had clients. And I had clients from time to time who would win the lottery. One of them, it was a really big number. And I was the second call that they made when they won the lottery. And I gave them what I thought was very sage advice. And it was a lot like being a pastor in that a lot of the sage advice I've given over the years, no one has followed. In fact, I've often thought I should write a book with all the great advice I've given that no one has followed, in the hopes that someone someday would follow that advice. But when you win the lottery, you really need someone to help you. And so Jesus gives an example of three people like really winning the lottery. Five talents. It's an exaggerated amount. You couldn't haul around in a Brinks truck five talents of gold or silver. You'd need like one of those very long trucks or several Brinks trucks. It's a lot of money. And then the other one gets two, and then the least worthy gets one. And you can see what they did with that money. Some of them took extraordinary risks. Now, some of you might have been in the insurance industry years ago or even still, and you know all about risk, don't you? Risk and reward. That if you don't take any risks with money, you can't expect any reward. So if you put it in a coffee can in the backyard in a hole, you can't expect that it's going to appreciate in value. But if you put it to work, you can expect some kind of a return, depending on how much risk you're willing to take. So Jesus tells this story, and it's kind of hyperbolic. You know, the first one gets a lot of money, and he gets to be entrusted with a lot more. And the second one also gets entrusted with an equal amount. But the first one gets sent as an unworthy slave, where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth. Sounds like Zephaniah, doesn't it? But you see, those people were thinking that Jesus was going to come any moment. Jesus was knocking on the door literally, and they had to stay awake so that they were ready for when Jesus came. I don't think we're in that mode these days. But we do have, while we wait for the coming of Jesus, a peculiar relationship with money that's developed. So, on that dollar bill, are there instructions on that dollar? No? You have to examine it a little more closely, because on every dollar bill, there are instructions. In God we trust, right? So there's two things we have to trust when we deal with dollar bills. We have to trust God, first and foremost, but also it says Federal Reserve Note. It's backed up by the full faith and credit of the United States of America. And right now in Washington, they're all arguing about what that means and how to deal with it, and the 1% and the 99% and all that stuff, all right? By the way, if that was a political thing, it wasn't. But if you thought it was, 508-791-1530, you can talk to the bishop. But we are debating it, and we're constantly debating it, whether we should be in the 1% or the 10% or the 100% or whatever, right? Because we have the peculiar relationship with abundance. All right, so we have this peculiar relationship, and Jesus talks about these hyperbolic situations. He's using this as a parable to answer the question, but what's the question? What should I give? What should I share? How much risk should I take? Because the last thing I want to be is sent into the outer darkness by Jesus. And the Bible gives us three different ways. The first is the tithe. And this was an agricultural measure, by the way, so that when you harvested the crops, like you all know how to harvest crops, right? A lot of farmers in this congregation. So when you harvest the crops, you take the first 10% and you bring it to the temple, right? It's a tithe. That's easy, right? First check you write when you get paid is to the church. And what you do is what I was taught when I was 14 years old. It was quite a scene. I was 14 years old, and a plumber who was also an usher came up to me and he said, "Paul, I understand you've just made your first Holy Communion, and I would like your help being an usher with me because you look really good in a jacket and tie." He was lying. I was wearing my brother's jacket, which didn't fit me, you know, like sleeves all the way down to here, and my father's tie, which was like down to there. But he said, "You look really good in a jacket and tie. And so I want you to be an usher with me." And that first week that I was an usher with him, he noticed that I was using the baby envelopes. And he said, "Now look, you're an adult in the congregation now. And that's why you look good in a jacket and tie. And therefore, you're going to have to use the adult envelopes." And he took me into the office and he got me a whole box of these wonderful big boy envelopes. And he said, "Here's what you do. I know you have a paper route. Here's what you do. You move the decimal place from the right to the left one And that tells you how much to put in the envelope. It's not how much your mother gives you to put in the envelope anymore. It's what you get to put in to be part of things here. Harry Guiler, what a saint. What a good teacher, right? Didn't need a slide rule for that one. So the first way is the tithe. It's first fruits. It could be 10%. It could be 12%. It could be whatever you think, whatever you decide. And that's the beauty of it. You're not measured by how much you give in your tithe. And frankly, you're not penalized for how little you give either. Your only job is to act with integrity as a grateful person when you think about your relationship with Jesus and how much God has provided for you by sending Jesus. And before that, Zephaniah. Thanks, Zephaniah. Real encouraging. All right, so that's the tithe. That's the first way that the Bible gives us as an example. All right, what's the second way? Do any of you still have mailboxes? Yeah, you get mail, right? Any of you graduate from a college or university? Any of you contribute to the United Way, right? And you get, especially this time of year, not only do you get all those catalogs, but you get solicitations from those institutions asking you for money. That's alms, all right? And Jesus says, whenever anyone asks, you give, even if it's a little amount. When they ask, you give. That's alms. We all give alms. Right? Follow me so far? Yeah. All right, because I need an amen. Amen. No, I mean really an amen.
Amen.
Okay. All right. Good. Thanks. I'm jealous of the Baptists, you know. All right. So you have alms, you have tithes, and what's the third one? Anybody read the book of Naomi? The book of Ruth. It's the book of Ruth about Naomi. All right? And Naomi went for the harvest, after the harvest, with her two daughters, daughter-in-laws, and they got what? Gleanings. So they got what was left over. So the third way that we give is through gleanings. Gleanings are whatever's left over at the end. It doesn't mean, hey, pastor, I got a new vacuum, you can have my old one. It doesn't mean that. It means something of value that we share because we have an abundance and we have some left over. There's a wonderful film called The Gleaners and I. It's about this woman who goes all over Europe and sees how people live on gleanings. And right now in Aroostook County, Maine, with which I am very familiar, it's potato harvest season. They will close the schools for 2 weeks so the school students can harvest. But the fields are square and the corners are left unharvested by the round harvest. Anybody know this? So that at every corner of every field, there are potatoes left over for people to come in the night and without losing their dignity, harvest their own potatoes for the winter. It's called gleanings. It's called gleanings. It still goes on, but it's quiet because it's not a dignified way to feed your family. So those three ways are what the Bible tells us about this peculiar relationship we have in showing our gratitude. And yet, this idea of a big chunk of metal being in exchange for goods and services that we want and need wasn't really familiar in the first century, but I had just this last week an occasion to reassess my own relationship with money. We got hacked. And I mean big time hacked. They got in the modem. They got in both our computers. They got in all our charge accounts. They got in our Amazon account. They knew all our passwords. Yeah, bad news. It was bad news. Now, fortunately, we called the credit card company before they actually took the charge against it that my wife paid for in this hack. And it could happen to any of us. It's happened to friends and neighbors. You read about it. But this happened to us. And so while we were waiting this last week for the new credit cards to arrive, we had to use cash. Oh, man, what a pain in the neck. We had to go around with, like, wads of money. Like, when I was in high school, I worked at a gas station, and we used to carry this wad of money in our pocket, you know, and you pull out this, like, cantaloupe-sized wad of money and count it out, right? Because people in those days, you paid for your gas with cash. So it renewed a feeling that I had to reassess my relationship, because I use a charge card for almost everything. And I'm told that now 30% of the purchases, they don't even use a charge card. You use one of those little apps on your phone. You're shaking your head. Yeah, right? Do you do that? Oh, thanks. I mean, I'm sure you save everybody a lot of money that way. And you save yourself from having to carry a cantaloupe around with you. But, you know, it's just it's value. It's all about value. So the only way that your phone can have that value is if you put money in it, right? You have to put money in your account in order for that to work. Because if the barista flashes the little thing at your QR code and there's nothing in it, you ain't going to get your coffee. It's just about as simple as that. Well, I got to tell you something. Your congregation cannot pay for the light bill and the pastor and the whatever you got going here with blueberries like the people in Maine or potatoes or broccoli. It's going to take cash. And that's what we deal with today. That's where we are. There are some congregations that have their own little QR code in the bulletin. So like you go and you open up the bulletin and there it is, the QR codes, which is something another thing I learned recently, something called a QR code. It's one of those little digital things. And if you want to do your tithe, you go beep with your phone and it's done. Lutheran World Relief, it's done. Whatever the charity of the week is, they've got it in the bulletin, you can just do that. And then you have to give a knowing nod to the usher as they go by. I already paid. Here. Our relationship with money is valuable in the sense that it helps us to assess how God has been generous with us. And there never is an equation between the value of money and the value of God's mercy, which is endless. But if you value on this side of the grave what we can all do as a church, in the community, in the world, then support your church. Support your church. Support your pastor. And when you talk about time, talent, and money, treasure, sure, the most wonderful thing you can do is present a balanced budget to each other when you do that. But also, thank your pastor. Thank your pastor. Just as you thanked me last week, thank you, Lee, for arranging that. It felt really good to be affirmed in the work that I do on your behalf. It felt really good. So do that with your pastor. Good to have you with us, Pastor. Good to have you with us. Thanks for joining us in our mission. And she'll thank you for supporting it. In the name of Jesus, amen.